Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. Welcome back into the Bullpen, where Sean and Cam found out during the break that I am, in fact, Father of the Year. I don't have the mug to prove it yet.
Yeah.
But I am, in fact, Father of the Year.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
If anyone's wondering what the off the mic conversations with Brian are like, it's always about his kid. It's always here. Look at this picture of her doing whatever.
Oh,
look at this. Look at that.
Sean is leading.
And we have to pretend like we.
Sean is obviously kidding. That is the exact 180. The only time my kid ever gets brought into the conversation is if they ask, because I am that person that doesn't want to hear about anyone else's kids. So I try not to be that person.
So Cam and I barely ever talk about our kids.
Yeah, I never bring my
kids. Well, Cam doesn't know who his kids are. I mean, there's I
whoa.
Think I over under 2.5 unknown
whoa.
Kids for Cam
whoa.
Smith.
Why does it have to be 2 already?
2.5. Cam, Johnny, what are you taking?
Antonio Cromartie of 97.5?
Higher or lower? What's the underdog? The underdog line. Higher or lower, 2.5 unknown kids for Cam Smith.
I'll go under.
You'll go lower verbiage.
Lower,
pal, verbiage,
sorry.
Pal.
Yeah, I'll go with less.
You'll go. Nah, sounds like a superior platform that you're suggesting. All right, let's talk some college football as the Undertaker is on the screen right now, wearing his Texas Forever hoodie as the second half, 35-0. Kicks off at
Billy
Austin.
Billy Napier, rest in peace.
Yeah. I don't think Billy Napier is going to need to lose a buried alive match to not be the Florida coach very soon. It's going to happen on its own. But all right, let's get into the college football playoff rankings. They came out on Tuesday this last week. I think the obvious takeaway that everyone went to right away was like, BYU, like that's kind of low. But what were you guys thinking or initial thoughts on the playoff ranking?
I was a little disappointed in the rankings because...
I mean, the obvious Oregon... I think Oregon was obviously number one. There was no argument there. But, I mean, I guess the argument all then comes after.
Yeah. I mean, between the college football playoff rankings and the AP... rankings from that week, there were two differences in the top 17. One was the CFP put Ohio State over Georgia, and AP had it flipped. And the other one was that they put Texas A&M 14th and LSU 15th. AP had LSU 14th, A&M 15th.
Yeah, having LSU, the AP had LSU in front of A&M?
Yeah.
I guess I missed that. Yeah, that's a big problem. Like, they played that game, and LSU got worked.
Yeah.
I get that it was, surprise quarterback. You know, Marcel Reed got put
leading
in the
at
game.
Halftime.
Leading at halftime, right. They lost when A&M made the flip at quarterback to Marcel Reed benching Wiegman. But, yeah, no, I mean, they played that game on the field, and LSU got their ass kicked by A&M. So that's a bad look for the AP, although it's been a long time. Oh, my God. Florida just threw an interception. This is really, really bad for Florida. Billy Napier, RIP. Rest in peace, brother. Exactly. Do the throat slash. He's not even going to make it inside the Hell in a Cell to get thrown
Kurt
off
Warner's
the top.
Son?
Huh?
Is that Kurt Warner's
no,
son?
No. Kurt Warner's
no,
son.
Kurt Warner's son plays at Rice.
That's right. E.J. Warner.
Yeah,
right.
E.J. Okay. Warner.
Unrelated Warner. That's why he's throwing interceptions every time we look.
Oh, it's tipped at the line again.
It's the Folex version of Warner's here. Florida's so bad.
Folex.
Fake Rolex.
The A&M over LSU, or the LSU over A&M thing for the AP is ridiculous, but I haven't cared about the AP ranking in such a long time. I mean, I don't know when the last time it actually – I mean, really, I guess it wouldn't have mattered going back to the BCS. When it was actually a part of that compilated formula.
Well, I would disagree.
Okay,
I think the AP has power over the college football playoff rank.
Oh, okay.
My evidence is that there's only two differences between the two polls.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
It seems like there's some anchoring that goes down,
that's
anchoring
fair.
In negotiations where you start at one number because you want to start the negotiation either higher or lower, but you just
see,
keep it.
Look, this hijack, I cannot let this stand.
What?
You putting in the... No, I did notice you said higher or lower, not more or less, so thank you for using
the
underdog.
I honestly just am trying to explain negotiation tactics. So if you're trying to get a lower number, you start way low. That way the counteroffer will be more in the range of what you're willing to accept. And I think that's kind of what's happening with the AP or the AP in the college football playoff ranking, where there is just a little bit of like, oh, yeah, Tennessee has to be above Indiana and BYU. And then you go, why is that?
Yeah,
well, they have to be.
Oh, let's go there, because BYU, I think, was what upset most people. BYU has wins over Kansas State. They have wins over win over SMU, obviously, who are both in the top 25. Tennessee lost to Arkansas, struggled with Florida. That game went to overtime. Penn State's beat nobody. Indiana's strength of schedule is like 103rd, I think I saw. Mm-hmm. I don't – look, now, it doesn't – ultimately matter, because when they actually make the bracket, as we saw the projected bracket based upon these rankings, BYU still gets moved to the fourth spot as a conference winner. But the idea, like, I would put BYU, like, I wouldn't put them above Texas, but I'd move them from 9 all the way up to 6. I don't know where you guys feel about that, but to me, they've got a better resume than Indiana, Tennessee, and Penn State. I thought that was the biggest error in this first college football ranking.
Yeah, the BYU ranking is the biggest kind of eyebrow raiser. It's not shocking that the committee puts a bunch of SEC and Big Ten teams ahead of them, but there is a little bit too, if you actually look at the resume. Like, they have a win against SMU, like at SMU.
Yeah.
The same
SMU's
SMU team,
only loss. Yeah.
The same SMU team that's ranked 13th, whereas Tennessee has a win at home against Alabama, who's two spots ahead of SMU. So
right.
They are on
SMU,
the
greater sign Alabama.
They're at least like on the same level of win, and Tennessee has a loss that BYU does not have. So they're at least against Tennessee, and then also Penn State, but Tennessee's the kind of easier example because their best wins are right next to each other in the polls, that there's a little bit of I'm not sure, but the good news is that Tennessee plays Georgia later this year. Indiana plays Ohio State later this year.
Yeah, a lot of this will take care of itself.
Alabama's going to play LSU, and the loser of that's going to have three losses.
Out. Yeah, loser's out tonight, whoever loses Alabama, LSU.
I'm not 100% certain, but it should be.
Well, because they could still win the conference?
No. No, they'll be out of the conference.
Oh, you think they could be – you could think they could get in as a three-loss at large?
Alabama is the number one ranked two-loss team. They're ahead of – 4 1-loss teams.
God, yeah, they're ahead. I mean, they're ahead of Boise State, but that doesn't really matter because Boise State would get in as a conference winner. But I mean, they're ahead of SMU, as you mentioned. I mean,
they're ahead of Iowa State. They're ahead of
Iowa State.
Like,
Iowa State, unless they win the conference, I think is out.
Yeah,
I mean, after that loss to Tech, I think they're out unless they win the conference.
And if enough two loss teams become three loss teams, Alabama's going to be the best three loss team in the nation.
You might not be wrong.
If there's a three loss team that gets in, it might be Alabama or LSU.
I don't know if you guys will agree with this takeaway. And Texas has scored again. It is getting bad there and awesome. Well, good from Sean and I's perspective. 42-0 for Texas over Florida. All sad Florida fan footage injected into my veins. That's hilarious.
That was actually Paul Gallant.
That was. Who's he rooting for in this game, you think? Because he
Florida.
He identifies himself as a
he's
rooting for, I mean, because it's so bad for them right now. I thought he might just bandwagon onto to Texas.
No, well, he's all, it's a long story, but okay. He's also mad at his Texas friends. So
that's right, because someone took a photo of him doing horns down because he's a hashtag fake fan. No, I get my other takeaway from this besides the BYU slight is that with the Clemson losing game and then the Iowa State loss. And with what you mentioned about Alabama, this feels like there's going to be a pretty narrow path for either the ACC or the Big 12 to get a second team in. We're probably looking at one team from both.
Yeah, ACC has a chance if SMU wins the conference and
right,
Miami goes undefeated until the ACC title game. So there's a little bit of the college basketball.
There's a narrow path there, yeah.
Yeah, college basketball style bid stealer there. But it is going to – I think last week really – kind of was the week where all the SEC outcomes that needed to happen to get the most SEC and Big Ten teams in, it's all the Big 12 outcomes greatly helped the SEC and Big Ten with the getting the most amount of those teams in. Like you said, there's going to be fewer at-larges, probably maybe one between the two conferences, honestly.
Cam, in the last minute or so we have here, I haven't really given you a chance to brag about your Cougars beating Kansas State and costing the Big 12. Actually, your team kind of betrayed the conference. Your team kind of laid the path for getting one less bid into the college football
playoff. Willie Fritz doesn't care about that.
I know. But Willie Fritz, I mean, brag about your Cougs for a second. They obviously, the Utah team they beat wasn't Utah at full strength, but that's still a good win. And then they beat K-State, who was, what, 16th, 17th in the country? So two good wins there for Willie Fritz. Seems like they're maybe on the path to a bowl, possibly, but either way, it feels like they've righted the ship from that disastrous start to the season.
I mean, yeah, congratulations to the Cougs for being almost 500.
That was the most damn praise I've ever heard.
What is this, a participation?
Don't
get me wrong, I'm still going to cheer for them, but
Johnny, I regret going to them for this. I really do.
I'm not in the business of
trying to... I apologize to all the real Cougs out there for going to Cam and having him rain all over their parade.
If you're a real Coug, last thing you should be is happy that they're sitting at 4-5.
You knew this was going to be a terrible season. Like, half their team transferred.
We knew that it was going to be a challenging season.
They had no quarterback.
But the fact that you scored, what, like 10 points in the first, like, three games?
Other than the win over Rice, yeah. They was like, 10 points in, like, four games.
They were scoreless in the first two Big 12 games.
Yeah, it was bad. Like, it was real bad.
They've started to pick up a little bit of steam,
a little steam? You beat number 16.
That's right. We played one good game. So let's
see. God. All right. Shut off his mic. We're going
I love this. We have standards at U of A.
Keep his microphone off. No. Do not turn it back
Cam
off.
Cam speaks for the people.
No, he does not. He speaks for haters. And
VMAC, it's like, hey, patting him on the head. Aren't you happy you beat Kansas State at home? That's what VMAC said. He's belittling.
You think I was patronizing Cam a little bit?
Yeah, you're belittling. You know what? Willie Fritz's
participation award. Yay.
Right. I apologize, Cam.
Hey, you guys maybe make a bowl game this year.
I hope potato bowl. Yippee.
I hope potato bowl. Maybe the Frisco Bowl you guys can make. I don't know. Good luck with that.
Play your cards right.
I'm going to say this very calmly because I got to rest my voice going to the next segment. On the other side of the break, on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5, we get into the hype train.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
We don't get hype. We stay hype.
You know it, bro.
This is The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Bro. 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 Hi. Bros.
Welcome in, ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. I scared Johnny Belmer, Cam Smith, pissing in his pants because it's time for the hype train.
No, I didn't.
I don't know.
No, I didn't.
I see a little puddle, Cam. I'm not saying it's pee. I see a little puddle. That's all I'm saying. All right. So these are our best picks of the week. I mean, winners are picking on underdog. Maybe gentlemen of a lesser standard are betting on Price Picks. I'll let you guys make that decision. But these are our underdogs of the week, are our prize picks of the week, and are we buying into the hype for these players this week? I will start it off. One of my underdogs this week, Tyler Allgeier of the Falcons, going up against New Orleans. He's obviously the backup to Bijan Robinson, but he's facing New Orleans in a game I think the Falcons are going to control. They're going to be ahead early. They're going to be able to run the ball late because they are ahead. And the Saints right now are the second worst team as far as schedule-adjusted points allowed to the running backs over the last 5 weeks. His underdog line is higher or lower, 37.5 rushing yards. I mean, Tyler Allgeier is a rookie. Before Bijan got there, was a 1,000-yard runner. We've seen him have, I believe, 200-yard games this season in similar situations where they're up big, so let's rest Bijan. Let's get Tyler Allgeier in the game. So give me higher than 37.5 rushing yards for Tyler Allgeier.
I am on board.
I'm also on board.
Also, he's on my fantasy team.
Are you playing him?
Yeah, because this is like a 14-man dynasty league, so it's psychotic. So
rosters are stretched.
It's crazy, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Sean, who's your prize pick? It's no underdog, but...
Saquon Barkley, more 110.5 rushing receiving yards against Dallas.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. When you first said 110, I was like, man, that's a high, that's a high ass rushing line. But okay, rushing and receiving.
Yeah, he's gonna get some work in the pass
road,
game.
That's a big favorite,
and he's gonna get a lot of work in the run game as the Eagles are salting away the game in the third quarter when they're up big on Dallas.
I would probably say lower if it wasn't for the fact that Dak's out and they're gonna be ahead big, and like you said, they're gonna have to salt the clock.
My thinking is that Saquon Barkley is a big reason why they're
I'm with you. I'm going to go higher on that. I would.
You're just saying devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Always advocating for the devil.
Yeah, that's me.
Devil's advocate. I mean, right here, number one.
Name one thing he was wrong about. Cam, where do you take him at?
Well, I'm not sure if this was supposed to be a NFL prize pick.
I went college.
I'm going Dylan Gabriel, Oregon, over 283.5 passing yards. He's had over 290 his last
against
four
Maryland?
Games.
Maryland?
Yeah.
Marshall.
No,
was
Maryland.
It Maryland?
I think it's
either one. Marshall, Maryland.
I know.
Meriwether.
I know where you're doing. It's MAR is the abbreviation on Prize Picks.
That's all I needed to see was that the fact that he's thrown over 290 yards four games in a row, and it was an MAR team.
I guess
so
only thing you worry about there is because it's Maryland, Marquette, Marshall, whoever, that Oregon is up so big. If they get up because of running, then maybe does Dylan Gabriel not even play the fourth quarter if it's a blowout? I guess that's the thing you worry about. What was the line again?
283.5.
I would still go higher.
And he's gone over, and they've blown out Purdue.
I would still go higher, but that's kind of my only concern. But I'll jump on board.
Yeah, I'm on there too.
All right, my next one is not. I had to pivot away a little. Actually, I have one more true underdog here. In my definition, at least, that would be guys projected less than 50 rushing or 50 receiving.
Can't even
on these
stay
sites.
Committed.
I'm very committed, man. Married for, I got the ring to prove it, right? Okay. I mean,
but you're not committed to underdogs.
I'm committed to underdog, not necessarily
the dog.
Underdogs.
Yeah, the big dog upstairs.
Exactly. Yeah, it's singular. Why are you bringing Jesus to this? What's going on here? But Evan Engram. The tight end for the Jaguars. It's an underdog, Sean. This is going to be an ugly line.
The Jags are definitely underdogs.
Obviously, I don't think they're going to win. We talked about Mike Gesicki the last time we did the show. Boom, that hit. So I think this is similar. Like, the Jaguars, Christian Kirk's out for the year. Brian Thomas has been banged up. Gabe Davis is, even when he's not banged up, it doesn't matter. He's irrelevant. I think the Jaguars are going to have to pass all game because their running backs are banged up and they're going to be behind from the jump against the Vikings. So his line is only at 46.5 against Minnesota. I think Evan Engram is pretty much the only target there for Mac Jones, and they're going to pepper him with targets, and he's going to go higher than 46.5 receiving yards.
Sure. There,
wow.
We've talked.
You could sell that with a little more.
We talked a lot about game state so far with all these picks about, well, are they going to be winning? Are they going to be losing?
I mean, it's part of the equation.
It is part of the equation. It's a huge part of this equation.
Oh, it's the only part of this equation.
This might be a, last two drives of the fourth quarter.
Doesn't
prevent
matter.
Defense.
Doesn't matter, Sean. They all count.
Every yard counts on prize picks. I get it.
In underdog.
We don't know
It counts more in underdog where you can
this
you
is
use
a big,
profit boost.
This is a big hold your
promo
nose.
Promo code BMAC.
Again, I'm holding my nose. I'll give my prize pick for this one. Jalen Milroe, more than 44.5 rushing yards against LSU.
Let me tag one on because I also have a underdog entry for Jalen Milroe. He scored 12 rushing touchdowns
Jack
in eight
and
games.
Jack and my
hey, look, I'm on Jalen Milroe. So you have rushing yards. I have rushing and receiving, but I'm basing this on rushing. He scored 12 rushing touchdowns in eight games. I mean, does he score a rushing touchdown as a pick that you can have in an entry? So yes, he scores a rushing touchdown against LSU.
LSU's defense, obviously, super ill-prepared for Marshall Reed when he came into the game 2 weeks ago.
Right.
A&M versus LSU. LSU does have a bye week now. But then I went back and looked at what Milroe's numbers were last year when they played LSU. Again, both teams were coming off a bye week, as is kind of tradition with these two teams. Jalen Milroe rushed for 150 yards and four touchdowns against LSU last year.
I mean, just You know what happens when they get around the goal line. Milroe's going to be running. And he doesn't even need to be around the goal line. He can take it from 20-30 yard out.
I also do like longest rush. I think it's 16 and a half.
I would go higher than that.
Cam, I think thoughts? John likes that.
I really actually like that Milroe one. I think both? I think I might make a whole nother prize pick. I already have one. I might make a whole nother lineup. The other one I have, sticking with college, and this one kind of surprised me because I usually don't go under, but Ashton Jeanty, Boise State, under 212
and a half
rushing and receiving yards.
All right, who's Boise playing?
Nevada. So he only averages 9 receiving yards a game, and his last 2 weeks he's only averaged...
His rushing total has come down a little bit,
Yeah, the last 2 weeks he's only averaged about 135 rushing yards and like 12 receiving yards, which obviously is a big difference, 150 total rushing receiving compared to what the
Bet
was.
Yeah, I was pulling up his game log. So his game log, 149 rushing yards against San Diego State. Last game, 128 against the UNLV. So that would fit totally into your line of thinking, Cam, where you said it was 200 and what?
It's 212 and a half rushing and receiving yards. But that's the thing. He doesn't
receive, so it's basically rushing. Now, He has broken that line a few times. Against Hawaii 3 games ago, it was 217. He had 259 against Washington State, 267 against Georgia Southern in their opener. And he was close to that against Oregon, of all teams, 192 in week 2 of the season. I think part of why I'm a little, Sean and I had that reaction is because it's Nevada. I think he could get that all rushing and not even need the receiving. I get your line of thinking, though. Yeah. Like he's been under, he doesn't do a lot of receiving work, but man, I don't know, Nevada.
Don't believe the hype, people.
Yeah, I'm off. I'm going to stay away from this one.
It scares me, but I was just like,
I get your line of thinking.
He falls into the thing of, like, I just don't want to be on the other side.
I don't want to be on the wrong side of a Jeanty breakout game.
Exactly.
But not a breakout game. He's already broken out.
The reasoning's solid. I have two more, and I'm really conflicted.
Okay.
On which one I want to do.
Go with B. I don't know if that helps.
Okay. No, it doesn't help, but I'll go with it.
That's what I'm here for, pal.
Prize Picks combination rushing yards.
Okay.
More than 139 and a half for Joe Mixon and David Montgomery.
Wait, 139 and a half for both?
The combined.
Yeah, so they would both need to get to, like, well, on average,
65, 70.
Yeah.
That is enticing.
I would take higher on that. I think Joe Mixon gets close to 100 on his own.
Joe Mixon's the like one that I'm actually less sure about, because there's a chance that he goes over 100. There's also a chance this is complete disaster.
He gets game scripted out.
35.
Sure. You know? Because I don't think Montgomery, because of Gibbs, is going to be capable of getting you more than 75 or 80. He feels capped at that. Like, his fantasy value is touchdowns more than yards. So you're really relying on Joe Mixon there, but I would still say higher.
The other one I liked was Ladd McConkey.
What's his line?
56 receiving yards.
They're playing, I forget.
Tennessee.
Tennessee's got...
They got a really good defense.
The number one fantasy defense against wide receivers. So that's 56 and a half, though. Yeah, I don't know. That also feels like a game because Tennessee's not great.
I also just wanted to throw it out there.
Oh, because, Chargers. That makes sense.
Since the break, they have been throwing the ball almost twice as much more because they're not getting the same production from J.K. Dobbins, the O-line's beat up. So, and we've seen Ladd go off the last 3 weeks because of that. So, I mean, it's not just coming from a Chargers fan. I just think because of the progression,
that's
a good bet. Yeah,
I've got, believe the hype.
I've got two more quickly, both with kind of an establish the run slant here.
Establish
the run, baby. That should speak to your heart, Cam, as a fan team coach, coached by Hard Dog Giro. There it is, Sean. Sean immediately looked away as I brought up Hard Dog
Jesse
and Giro.
We're down there now.
Yeah, I got that in twice today. Well, how about that? But give me higher. These are actually both at 69 and a half rushing yards.
Oh,
so.
Nice. Well, I thought this was an underdog.
Nice. This is on underdog. It is. It is on underdog.
No, but I thought these were supposed to be like less.
These aren't underdogs, but they're picks I would make on underdog. Promo code BMAC, BMAC. Deposit now up to $1,000 bonus cash instantly. But Aaron Jones, higher than 69.5. Obviously, Minnesota playing the Vikings. That's a game script that's going to be positive in terms of the run game.
Minnesota playing the Vikings?
They're
playing the Jaguars. Thank you.
Vikings.
But point stands despite my slip up there. Aaron Jones, that's going to be a great. Oh, hey, look, Arch Manning's in 42-3, Texas.
More
than Arch Manning. Aaron Jones, I mean, that game script's going to be great for them. The Jags are a terrible run defense. They're going to be up, so give me higher than 69.5. And then same situation, exact same reasoning for DeAndre Swift. They're playing the Patriots. Patriots, terrible run D. Game script's going to be in the Bears' favor at home. Give me higher than 69.5 rushing yards for DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, I'm on both of those.
I love rushing.
Of course, establish it, baby.
All mine were rushing.
Oh, yeah. Well, last week you gave us, like, the dirty combined field goal yardage.
Oh, I do have.
You have one of those?
Not field goal yardage. I haven't had a chance to crunch the numbers there. But I also I saw this.
Tell me it's not interception yardage.
No. You just have to. When you see a number this low, you have to take the more.
Okay.
Jared Goff more than 1.5 rushing yards. All he needs is one scramble where he gets 2 yards.
Has anybody done a push?
Like you,
a receiving
there's a lot
one?
Of ways to this.
But then he can lose it when they kneel the ball down.
Damn it. So, I disavow this one.
Okay, I'm glad we
I mean, it's
that. That's actually a pretty funny valid point, though.
Yeah, like, it is. Yeah, I mean, they're probably going to have at least three kneel downs. He's going to lose a yard and a half on each of those.
Have
at
we done a receiving one yet?
Huh?
Have we done a receiving one yet?
No.
He mentioned Ladd McConkey. Oh, and I mentioned Evan Engram, so.
You did?
Yeah. Evan Engram was my second one where Sean like just was totally distraught that I even mentioned the name of Evan Engram.
Some of these guys where it's like they've been cut from every fantasy team they've been on for
Evan
the last
Ingram's
3 years.
Not been cut from every fantasy team. He had like 115 catches last year.
Yeah, it was good last year.
I was going to say, the one receiving I have is Colston Loveland over 63.5 against Indiana. The tight end for Michigan.
Oh, okay. I thought we were talking NFL. I was thinking NFL.
No. All mine so far have just been college.
Okay, yeah. I was totly thinking NFL.
College Cam.
Who is this?
Yeah, I was like, I've not heard that tight end. I've not seen him in my underdog projections here. All right, that'll do it for the hype trade. On the other side of the break, it's time for the best part of your weekend. It is time for Mount Rushmore Plus One. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. Throughout the course of human history, singular moments have shaped who we are, who we'll become, and even the world as we know it. Some men discovered new worlds.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
One man advocated for the need to hire a contractor.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Others put pizza on a bagel.
When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime.
These courageous men gazed upon a monument and asked, what if we add one more? This is Mount Rushmore Plus One.
Welcome in, Houston, to the best part of your weekend. Two segments left to go in the show for this week, and that means, of course, it is time for Mount Rushmore Plus One, the segment that not only changed the landscape of sports radio forever, but eventually get the four of us into the Texas Radio Hall of Fame. I'm calling it right now, folks. It's not going to take us 27 years like John Lance.
No.
I mean, we're going to do it half that time.
Yeah.
I mean, we might be in before we get back on the air again. I'm just saying. A quick programming note. I will not be in next week, but Joe, Sean, and Cam will be out at La Berge in Lake Charles. At their casino. Cam gets to make the trip for the first time with two shows next weekend.
Two times.
Saturday at noon to 2, and then on Sunday from 10 a.m. to noon, getting you ready for all the football action. So you make sure you stay tuned next weekend and hear Joe, Sean, and Cam live from Lake Charles at La Berge Casino and Resort. But our Mount Rushmores Plus One, and I'll go ahead and kick it off here. I'll give the option to Cam. Would you like me to go, Cam, with list A or list B?
A.
A. All right. So this comes off a conversation. I don't remember exactly how we got to it, but I think we got to mention at one point, and I don't remember why, but the Rockets in 2018 and their 27 missed threes. and the kind of like the heartbreak of that moment. So it spurred the idea.
Good pick, Cam. Real bummer.
You are a real hater, Cam. Like, I mean, you were crapping all over your Cougs, 2%er a couple segments ago, and now this. It's unbecoming of you, Cam. That's all I'm going to say.
They crapped on themselves first. So
They beat a top 20 team.
The number 16 team in the nation, kid.
Yay!
Nothing pleases Cam. Nothing pleases Cam. Standards so high. All right, but that spurred the idea for me for, like, my Mount Rushmore plus one will be titles we should have had. And we, obviously, being teams that I rooted for. Teams that, you know, I've rooted for that I felt like, man, they really should have won the title that year. And obviously, as I mentioned, the Rockets in 2018 is one of them. Now, obviously, that was in the Western Conference Final where Chris Paul injured his hamstring when the Rockets were up 3-2 on the Warriors. But I mean, I think we all agree for the most part. I don't think anyone disagrees that the Rockets, even without Chris Paul, in the next two games were up at halftime. It took 27 missed threes for them to lose game seven. I think they would have beaten the Warriors. I don't think there's a lot of disagreement there.
At worst, the second best Rockets team of all time.
Ooh, okay. Future conversation. And then they would have had to, saying they should have won the title means they would have had to beat LeBron, and obviously that's no cakewalk, but LeBron's lost, what, like four or five finals, and that was not, by far, not the best Cavs team of that run. That was not a great Cavs team. It was an injured team, too, so I think they would have beat the Cavs and LeBron that year.
And the Warriors 1-4.
Yeah, exactly. So I think has Chris Paul not injured his hamstring in game five, they beat the Warriors, they beat the Cavaliers and LeBron James, and that was a title we should have had. My next one on titles we should have had, this is for the Longhorns out there, both in 2008 and 2009 for different reasons. Mm-hmm. Obviously, in 2008, this was when the Longhorns beat Oklahoma 45-35 in the Red River Shootout, lost to Texas Tech, and because of a bad application of tiebreakers in the Big 12. Despite that, despite them having the same end-of-season record at 11-1 with Oklahoma, even though they beat Oklahoma on a neutral field, went ahead of them to the Big 12 title game and then got the spot in the Were they in the Big 12 title game? No, yeah.
In 2008?
They were not. So they get to go to the Big 12 title game on tiebreaker, and then they eventually face Florida and lose. I think Texas and Oklahoma played that Florida team close, too. It was like, I think it was 21-14 was the final. I think Texas would have won. And then 2009, obviously against Alabama. Tougher case to make, even though they were in the national title game. But Colt McCoy injures his shoulder on the second series of the game. They're up 6-0 when he leaves. And Garrett Gilbert had the ball with a down one score with a chance to win in the fourth quarter. I think Colt McCoy stays healthy for that entire game. He does even better than, obviously, Garrett Gilbert, who turned out to be a disaster before he transferred to SMU. And that is another national title for the Texas Longhorns. Next one, titles we should have had. I think this one is the easy case to make. Astros 2019.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it be putting Garrett Cole, whether it be leaves that Greinke in, regardless, the answer was not what A.J. Hinch did. And that was a title the Astros absolutely should have had. Sean, you mentioned, like, second-best Rockets team in 2018. That was the best Astros team I've seen, and they didn't win a title. They should have won a title. Next one, this is kind of a combo and a little bit more of a reach, but I will say Rockets in 1997, where they lost in Game 6 of the Western Conference Finals
to the Jazz
on the walk-off shot by Stockton when Karl Malone absolutely bear hugged.
I knew you were going to bring this one up.
I will always bring it up. I was traumatized by that BS. He bear hugged Clyde Drexler, Stockton got open, hit the game winner. That should have gone to game seven. Now, they would have had to go on and face the Bulls in the finals, which is why it makes it a harder case. I mostly want to say it because we finally would have got an answer, too.
The Rockets were good in the regular season.
They were.
That's what I've heard, at least.
That's what we've heard. The other one
was not a lie.
The other part of that, of the split, was Astros 2015, where they blow. They're up four runs in the seventh inning on the Royals, the eventual World Series champion.
ALDS.
In the ALDS. The governor tweets out, congratulations, Astros, advancing to the ALCS.
And Astros-Rangers.
And then they blow it, and obviously they lose the series. They lose game four, have to go back to Kansas City, and then lose in game five. Obviously it's a much tougher case to make because they would have had to win two additional series after that. But they obviously should have eliminated the Royals. They're up 4-0 in elimination game and blew it in the seventh inning. Or up by 4 runs in the seventh inning, that is. And that team that they lost that to then went on to win the World Series. And then lastly, this is for the wrestling fans out there. Razor Ramon should have had a world championship in WWF. Is all I'm saying.
I knew that. I knew there was going to be a wrestling. I could have before this list started said there's going to be a Texas football one. There's going to be a wrestling one. There's going to be 97 Rockets. I could have told you.
Okay,
that.
Well, you have me pegged correctly. Razor Ramon should have been a world champion in WWF. It was a shame he never was. That was my Mount Rushmore of titles we should have had. Sorry for eating up a lot of time there, Cam. What do you got?
Okay, so the other...
Cam's just moving right along.
I honestly don't know what brought about this, but I was sitting there thinking to myself, I'm not much of a gamer these days, but back in the day, computer games, there was a few that I would get down on religiously, and with them making a return of the backyard sports, I thought to myself, what 5 games, because some of them you can still play, but what 5, if they revamped them, would I definitely play on my computer again? To start, Age of Empires 2.
Nerd.
The second one. Has to be the second one. That was my favorite one. Backyard football. Backyard baseball. I loved some Oregon Trail. I don't...
They actually did revamp
that. Did they revamp that
one? Yeah. That exists. You can download that on Xbox.
That's the difference. That's one of those games where the lower the quality, the more
If you can download Xbox, you can download it on the computer because Microsoft has... Anyway, I don't want to get deep into it.
Go buy an Xbox.
Nerd. Again, you didn't listen to me. You can play it on your computer. If you have... you're using Apple, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, you'd have to have a Microsoft computer.
Oh, oops, don't have that. And then Twisted Metal. Ha, love Twisted Metal.
Now, have you watched the TV show on Peacock?
Absolutely, I have, twice.
Love Twisted Metal.
That was quite the sell.
A laugh to yourself.
Man, that was a good entry on my list. I cracked myself up. That was amazing. Game. All right, Main Event Mapes. Main Event this bad boy.
Mount Rushmore plus one of ideas I'm sure, or I'm convinced I had before they happened, but I have.
I love this. Okay, because I think we all have them. Please hit me.
I 100% invented Uber Eats in a college dorm room.
What?
Like 6 months before Uber Eats became a thing. I definitely did that. I remember explaining to my friend, it's like, no, it's like Uber, except the food is you. And then your house is you.
You had the idea, but didn't get the credit for it.
No. Well, I had the idea, and then it came about so quickly after I had the idea. I was like, they also had to have been working. Like, I wasn't
they
alone.
They probably were working on it at the same time. Yes.
Yeah. But I thought, I was like, I did it. That's how I make my millions. And
Mount Rushmore missed opportunities, it feels like.
Not really. Some of them, they're not all million-dollar ideas. I had the idea about why don't you just Zoom into a talk show before I knew what Zoom was. It always blew my mind that like Tom Jackson or whatever would fly to Connecticut to do 2 shows a week and then fly back home. I was like, he should be able to just do this from his house. I don't know why he has to fly to Bristol, Connecticut to do a Sunday NFL countdown and then Monday NFL countdown. And then that's it. And the fastest and the blitz.
They should have been able to do that long before they did. Because now you see, like, Mina Kimes is never in studio.
Yeah.
But that didn't really start to become COVID. A thing until COVID.
Yeah.
And then some of them have never gone back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was an idea I had. And yes, eventually we're forced into it. But
Sean,
I went.
You should be a millionaire multiple times over.
Yes. Nest thermostats.
What? You're taking credit?
Well, just the idea that you should be able to...
There's a lot of hubris in this segment now.
I remember on like long trips that I would take with my family that before we leave, my parents would not turn off the AC, but would turn it up to like 80.
Right, so it doesn't run as much.
But then when you get home, the first like hour you're home, you're sitting in a house that's 80 degrees because you had to get home and then turn the AC back down.
Right.
I remember thinking, wouldn't it be great if you could just do this like 30 minutes before you get home, you start lowering the temperature. Now, we didn't have iPhones. We didn't have, Wi-Fi.
What year is this?
Probably when I was like 10, so like 2006.
Okay, 2006, 2007. Yeah, it feels like John Cam, like, we need... Sean, next time you have, they're like, man, we should really be able to do this. Like, hit us up. Let's maybe get a little investment going.
I do agree with your temperature one because I can change it my apartment.
On your phone.
On my phone.
It's such a great idea that I was too busy being in fifth grade to work on. The Golden Bachelor was an idea.
What? You hated the Golden Bachelor.
No, no. I hate this version of it. But my idea was better where you have the 50-year-old bachelor. And then you have, like, 20 age-appropriate people, but then you also have, like, 10 25-year-olds, too.
Oh, wow.
So how many options do they have?
I think they start with, like, 30.
Holy
do they really? They start with 30?
Yeah, 25, 30, something like that.
Wow.
So,
the
yeah.
whole classroom. That's a weird,
what a weird way,
that's
of
a weird
about.
Way to think about
Let's
it,
Let's blow past that.
Master's program.
Okay. All right. All right.
But the...
put it in reverse, Tim!
Exactly. Yeah, I thought my idea was way better, where you'd have all the old women hate the young women because the man would choose.
You just want the confessional sessions where the old women are just catty against
it's so
the,
much
just
more,
the toxic
it's so
drama.
Much fun.
Yes.
It's
yes.
so much. It's so much better TV than, like, well, I want a second chance at love, and I also want a second chance at love, and I also want to say, no. I want someone who's like, this guy's rich. I want to marry him.
Yeah.
I don't care that he's older than my dad.
You want to see the thought process play out. Like, I'd love a second chance at love, but I'd also...
I also love...
like to bang that 26-year-old.
Brian, you could not have said it better.
Give him a chance to Bill Belichick.
Yep. Last one. It's a turn.
Okay.
Doritos Locos Tacos.
Oh.
From Taco Bell.
You had the idea for this?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I remember having nachos with a Dorito and being like, you know, Doritos go perfectly with Mexican food. They go perfectly with it.
You really should start writing some of these thoughts down.
I really
like,
should. Now,
like having pitch meetings.
Now, a lot of them would be... either impossible or impractical, but yeah, no, I think
that one's very practical.
Yeah, I mean, yes, that one is practical.
I mean, you kind of already did
I don't know
it,
how to do it.
Deconstructed form.
Yeah, I just don't know how to make a taco shell out
right.
of
right. I'm just saying, yeah, you kind of already did it with the deconstructed form. All right, that'll do it for Mount Rushmore Plus One. Man, we need to make some money here with Sean's idea. Sean, write this stuff down.
I could probably make another one, too.
Send us a text next time you have one of these ideas. All right, when we get back, last segment of the day for the bullpen. And when we do, it'll be time for the worst people in sports this week and what we loved in sports this week. ESPN Radio, 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN, 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. Welcome in. Last segment of the day, and a quick programming reminder again. The boys, Sean, Joe, and Cam will be out at Le Bourge Casino in Lake Charles next weekend for two shows, Saturday 12 to 2. And Sunday, 10 a.m. to noon. So make sure you catch the guys next weekend. But as we do every week, let's finish the show with our worst people in sports this week and our favorite thing, the thing we loved from sports this week. My worst person in sports this week is the bad booking for this Auburn team, Auburn basketball fight that happened on the plane. Look, I have no problem with the fighting, but guys, you can't do it off of TV. This would be like the WWE switching champions on a house show with 100 people seeing it. No, you save the fight for TV, for revenue. You got to wait till he gets inside Hell in a Cell. Look, Auburn, if you want to fight on the plane or if you want to fight each other, fine. Don't fight it on the plane where no one sees it. Wait till you're here at Toyota Center facing the Houston Cougars with like 15,000 people in attendance. That's when you give us the fight. Yeah. Terrible booking by Auburn.
That was pretty selfish.
Yeah, WWE
terrible
lucked
booking.
Out last year when The Rock fought Cody Rhodes after the show. They're lucky that they had some cameras still rolling.
It's very lucky the cameras were still rolling.
But
yes.
Auburn obviously was not that lucky.
Bad booking.
Bad booking.
What do you guys got?
Cam, you want to?
Well, mine kind of ties in together, good and bad. It's not so much a worse person. It's more of like a bad thing. So as much as I love what Saquon Barkley did the other day with his run and
jumping
going
backwards.
Since then, I have seen so many videos of high school football kids trying to do it and getting absolutely demolished. I mean,
one guy basically got like power slammed.
Yes, yeah. I saw that video before the show started
and that's,
today.
That's not a good thing. That is not something that
we need
football
to be teaching the kids.
High school should be trying to do. It's almost kind of like that Steph Curry thing where Steph Curry started taking 39-foot three-point shots. Now, granted, that's different basketball because you're not getting hurt. But this is not a football move that should be practiced by 16-year-olds. Like, it's just not.
I don't think college kids should try it. I don't think
nobody
anyone
should try it besides Saquon Barkley.
Yes. Yeah, there's very few people. There's very few athletes who could pull that off. All right, who's your worst person, Sean?
This is going to be controversial, and it's not. It's not because of the hardship his family is undergoing right now. Kirk Herbstreit brought out a new dog to college game day this morning.
Yes, he did.
2 days after his old dog died.
Ben wasn't even cold in the ground yet. And Kirk is out there trotting out this new hot golden retriever to the audience.
Have some decorum.
Like if my wife died, am I just trotting out the new one 2 days later?
I would hope not, because that means you've already been with her.
That's different. But
a little different.
It is the exact same thing.
I you know what? I don't want to compare Brian's wife to a dog. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I'm not on this one either.
Brian can say whatever you want.
Brian's not Ted Cruz.
Oh, well, yeah, okay. I haven't won several elections in a row either. But yeah, like, this is so weird. Not only is it weird that it's so soon.
Too soon.
Too soon. Hashtag too soon.
And it's a puppy, too.
But it's also the exact same dog.
Yeah, it's the same breed, too.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like the thing with Ron Swanson and Parks and Rec, and all his wives are named Tammy. It's like, it's like, I don't know. It's a little weird. It's like, I don't know. Did you really love Ben, or you just putting in the new one? It's like next man up.
Exactly.
All right.
It's like how they recast Air Bud. You know,
it's a tragedy. All right, we got to finish quickly here with the things we love from sports this week. And what I love from sports this week is Vandy linebacker Brian Longwell keeping receipts, and after they beat Auburn, tweeting out a text he received from an Auburn recruiter, which apparently this Auburn recruiter sent him on Christmas morning at 6 a.m., which is the weirdest part. Okay, he's telling him basically, hey, we're not going to sign a linebacker in this class. Best of luck to you. That's fine. Maybe Auburn didn't need a linebacker. Maybe they didn't think Brian Longwell was good enough. That's fine. The weirdest part is, why are you texting the kid at 6 a.m. on Christmas Day? Like, if you made the decision, we don't want you, tell him the day after. Like, don't ruin his Christmas. It's Christmas morning at 6 a.m. Like, hey, kid, you got no future with us. Best of luck.
Later.
It's like he texted him before he even said hello to his own kids.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
It's the first thing he did when he woke up.
Yeah, so the favorite thing I loved this week was that he kept the receipt. And as soon as Vandy beat Auburn last week, he tweeted out the screen cap of this text. So well done to Brian Longwell. What do you guys got?
Well, Saquon's move was
best and worst.
Oh, it was best and worst, Cam?
Mine is the audio from the plane fight with Auburn basketball. This is the pilots radioing in why they're having to basically make a U-turn in the sky.
Yes, sir. We have got an altercation on board. We thought to declare an emergency and land. We got a bunch of basketball players fighting. The flight deck is secure. The threat level is contained for the moment. We just had, police on the ground, and we had two players that got into physical altercation. Clothes were ripped, and one bloody player. And Center 2681, it's kind of crazy. Were we direct, Montgomery?
Bunch of basketball players fighting.
The voice is kind of amazing.
Funny.
We got a bunch of basketball players fighting.
Yeah, exactly.
I love at one point that threat's contained.
Threat's contained. Yeah, it's not an Air Force One situation.
Just settle down. You're not the FBI.
Yeah.
Threats down. Threats down. Like target eliminated. Like
they don't have an air marshal with a gun on their
straight out of down. A game.
All right, we got to get out again. Catch the boys next week for two shows, Saturday and Sunday. They'll be live at LaBerge Casino in Lake Charles. For Sean Mangs, for Cam Smith, for John Belmer, I'm Brian McDonald. Thanks for listening this week. Have a great weekend, Houston.
We got a bunch of basketball players flat.
ESPN 97.5.